Space Incorporated. Come and shine up without a Space Ways Incorporated. Come inside.
Everything you desire upon this planet received will be yours in outer space.
Good morning. The time now, 7:01 a.m. You're tuned to Redwood Community Radio. This is KMUD Garberville, 91.1 FM and HD1. KMUE Eureka, 88.1 FM and HD1. KLAI Leightonville, 90.3 FM. We're K258 PQ out in Shelter Cove and 99.5 and on the World Wide Web at KMUD.org. Support for KMUD programming comes from listeners like you and from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, promoting the growth and development of public media in communities throughout America. More information is online at cpb.org. Support comes from listeners like you and from Pearson Building Center on South Broadway in Eureka, celebrating over 55 years of serving the community with quality building materials, lumber, and a complete nursery at the sign of the Big Hammer. Welcome to Monday Morning Magazine. It's the first Monday of the month. Your host, Pat Higgins, waiting in the wings. Good morning, Pat.
Am I coming through loud and clear, Dennis?
I got you. 10 by 10 or 5 by 5. Is that what they say?
There we go. Try to keep it in the appropriate amplitude. Thank you for being our engineer extraordinaire and keeping the spaceship KMUD in the air.
Yeah, this is the space. This is the theme music for the spaceship came out.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just such a pleasure for me to be able to kind of Zoom from home and tune in with all my friends across KMUD land, radiating out to the entire Eel River Basin, and who knows, maybe even to Deep Space Nine. Maybe those aliens will hear and come save us. Not likely. We're going to have to save ourselves.
Years from now.
I want to touch on that. But I've got a great show for you this morning. And, you know, remember to support KMUD. We have to keep it going on. And so, but winter's in the rearview mirror. And spring is coming on gangbusters. And this morning I have a great show for you. At 7:15, I've got River Guide Extraordinaire Kenny, River Guide Extraordinaire, give you round pear-shaped tones, Kenny Priest will join me to recap Steelhead season, and that ended March 31st, and coming up on April 19th is the Source to Sea Conference about the Eel River at the River Lodge in Fortuna. And my 7:30 guest will be Rick Littlefield, owner of Eureka Natural Foods, Rotary Club organizer, and he'll tell us about this exciting event, which is co-sponsored by Cal Trout. And the Eel River Recovery Project will be there with a poster about the Lower Eel River Salmon Parkway. And that's about fixing the Lower River in partnership with the Wiyaw Tribe and getting a segment of the Great Redwood Trail started. And so I want to hear everybody in Fortuna. I want to hear Lolita. I want my parkway. I want my salmon park. And this could be an extension south from CR and could revitalize the area through economic development related to ecotourism. So if you want to come out and help me table and perk this idea, We'll probably be stirring it up there in Fortuna afterwards. But call me, 707-223-7200. From 8 a.m. to 8:30, I'm going into a different format. And at the end of that half hour, I'm going to open the phones to talk with you about steps to reverse fascism. Diane and I took it to the streets on Saturday. She had some great signs that said, elections are not for sale, repeal Citizens United. I'll talk more about that. But we joined a joyful crowd in Eureka. I had an epiphany. We can take local action to start to backfire and take this country back right here. Have some fun doing it. It's open source software to run our elections so that we can't be defrauded in 2028. Go to the website votingworks.org and check it out. And check back in at 8 a.m. to find out why I think this is a pivotal issue and why I think we can actually add substantially to its momentum and have fun doing it. And we'll close strong with a really cool guy, Nick Jocelyn, geologist with the Mount Shasta Bioregional Center. And he has good news about Medicine Lake Highlands. And they were saved by a last minute proclamation from President Biden. And this was celebrated by the Pitt River Tribe. And there wasn't... He wasn't sure. Somebody may join us this morning, but we would welcome to hear the perspective of the tribe in the future on the protection of this extremely significant cultural place. And the Medicine Lake Highlands are between Mount Shasta and Mount Lassen, and there are mountains of solid glass in there, obsidian. And Nick's a geologist, so he'll expand on that. I want to do a quick ode to spring. I'm still sore from mowing a 16-inch high lawn for the first time in months. And my wife and I are back out in the garden. And we're constantly working to build living soils. But just about when the soil is perfect in our raised beds, the wooden walls fall apart or the gophers get in because the wire wears out. So it's, you know... It's a constant struggle, but the rewards are amazing. Getting out in the garden is on a par with floating on a wild river or walking near the pounding surf. It connects you with nature, the warmth of the sun, the birds singing, the smell of the flowers, the beauty of it all. Get out in it. Take time for it. And growing your own food, the amazing nourishment of the highest order, living foods, antioxidants, and you are what you eat. Ron Lincoln Sr. reminds us that we must always be in balance, mind, body, and spirit. And in the garden, the mind relaxes, the body gets in rhythm with the work, and you can be renewed at the core. So my last Monday Morning Magazine was on the cusp of Forced Health Extravaganza 2. In Laytonville on March 29th. And I want to thank everybody involved. We drew hundreds through the course of the day with 150 still there for the closing circle and dinner. Thanks to Alicia Bales for coordinating. And I think we succeeded in connecting people to help them organize to obtain more Forest Health resources, including large scale grants, and in learning to embrace the good fire. And in particular, I want to thank Margot Robbins, who hit it out of the park as our keynote speaker. And she hung around for the fire that we did on Sunday. Thanks to Scott Steinbring and Torchbearer for helping pull that off. And but I want to thank all our co-sponsors, Mendocino Fire Safe Council, CAL FIRE, Cloud Forest Institute and the Forest Reciprocity Group, ISF, Institute for Sustainable Forestry, Mendocino Resource Conservation District, Redwood Forest Foundation, Torchbearer, Elk Ridge Tree Service, and the Hybrid Indigenous Stewardship, and the California Biochar Coalition, and the Trees Foundation, and the Cherry Creek Fire Safe Council, Firewise Community. They came out in force. Yay to Cherry Creekers. They were putting away the tables and the chairs at the end. It was like a dream machine. Dana and the Salmonid Restoration Federation, thank you. And finally, thank you to the Biochar Coalition and the Northern Mendocino Ecosystem Recovery Alliance. It takes a village, and we all came together at Harwood Hall. And really was great content. And I want to thank folks who are working with me on my project, Scott Steinbrink, Ben O'Neill, Kyle Keegan, Noel Susi, and the HIS crew, Tom Campbell, and the young members of his crew that so capably participated in the panel discussions that kind of shed light on what we had going on with our project. But Lorancy Hall also facilitated a very cool meeting on empowering local communities to obtain resources for forest health. And shout out to Scott Craddy from the Mendocino Fire Safe Council, and Eli Ryder from Leggett Fire, Doug Turk from the Mendocino RCD, Jessica Martinelli and Will from Northern Mendocino Ecosystem Recovery Alliance, and Cindy Panzer did a great job for the Cherry Creek Group, and they're really making a move on trying to get resources for forest health in there. Heidi Woodhouse is Ethos Environmental, and she's got things going up there in the Spyrock neighborhood. And then Jason Franklin talked about tribal co-management and cultural monitoring. So that was a panel of extraordinary caliber. And then the prescribed fire panel was also really, really substantive. And in addition to the Eel River Recovery Project crew, we had Brandon Gunn, who's the Mendocino Unit Chief for CAL FIRE, Len Nielsen, statewide prescribed fire, CAL FIRE. Margo came back to join the panel, and Steve Brown, landowner in Lower 10 Mile. And then also Javier Silva of the California Indian Environmental Alliance, and Tom Campbell from HIS joined that panel. So that was really people that came over from Covelo that I ran into. So they said it was one of the most substantive events that they had attended. And then we had a three-ring circus. I want to give a shout out to Bam Britton, and we showed his film River to Ridge and Fish to Fire in the Garden Club. Kyle Keegan let people know how they could avoid wildlife impacts. And he had the greatest wildlife photos. And that's, you know, we're trying to achieve ecological restoration with forest health. And Kyle spoke to that. And then Rachel Campbell and Carolyn Lucas of HIS talked about using traditional ecological knowledge to bring back native grasses and field trips to help do that at some locations will ensue. So we're going to jump in with both feet, and I'll put on my waders instead of my wetsuit. And do we have Kenny Priest in the house?
We do. Here you go, Kenny.
Kenny, are you with
me? Good morning. I am here. Good morning, Pat.
Oh, loud and clear. Oh, that's great, brother. Thanks for taking time out to jump on the radio with me and keep people in touch with our vital North Coast rivers.
Absolutely.
And so for people that are steelhead fishers, it's kind of like, you know, baseball fans at the end of baseball season, steelhead fishers at the end of steelhead season. And there is the ocean, but... talk to us about what was your view of steelhead fishing season 2025, and how much fun did you have?
Well, I will say that I had a lot of fun, and I, you know, I think looking back, it was definitely better than the last couple of years. You know, I did spend most of my time on the Eel River, mostly on the South Fork, Did make a few trips up north to fish the Smith River, and that was okay too. But I think, you know, I sense that we're building here. You know, I know the numbers that came back to Van Arsdale were, I don't remember exactly what they were, but they were the most steelhead since 2019, which is kind of an indicator of something's going on, right?
Well, actually, Kenny, they run a Didson at McCann, and I'll send you it for, you know, the reports are kind of sciencey, so you have to kind of wade through it to see the numbers. But their last indication, you know, the steelhead season, it's hard to run these sonar things because when the water comes up, it'll blow your stuff out. And it's $100,000 right. worth of stuff. So they have these gaps, and some of those gaps overlap with when a steelhead would have been running like the Light Brigade. But the indication is that from just those windows where they got the Didson data, that it was a good year for steelhead. And they also indicated that Chinook were higher than any time since they've measured in 2018. And similarly, the guy on the South Fork for Caltrout, Matt Matheny, they found way more Chinook. And then and at the end, it was coho, Kenny. And I saw pictures and heard stories that guys on the South Fork that knew what they were doing kind of up high had 20 to 30 fish days on the last of the Chinook. And the coho run that they got into was epic. So I digress from steelhead season, but that's kind of the backdrop for people of the eels got it going on. So, and Kenny's on the Steelhead Channel, and I would like to be on it more. I drive by it more than I fish it, though. So please continue.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, you're right. I mean, that's kind of where I was going. You know, it definitely feels like something is building here. You know, not only the numbers were good, you know, that they tracked via the Didsons and all the sonars and all that kind of stuff, but just the catch rates from the boats that I saw, and including myself, was not like we've had in the past couple of years. So it was, you know, fairly easy to go out there and land four or five fish a day on the South Fork, and even better on the main stem when you could get on that. So that just tells me there was more fish around this year than in the past. And the fish were, you know, early in the season, they were nice and big, caught some nice ones on the main stem. And there was also a lot of little guys in there too. I think, you know, looks like they're bluebacks. So there was some, you know, some fresh ones still coming in March, and, you know, right to the end. You know, I fished close to the end and still catching fresh ones and some nice fresh downers. And so I think it was a good year.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of funny. You know, steelhead don't waste any time when they get in the river. And so you got to be there when they're there, you know, and they move around. And, you know, I had a couple of good friends who fished them atoll in very hard luck, in perfect conditions. And then I saw a video from somebody of a school of steelhead, like sitting around somewhere in Edersburg above Legal. And so I think it was a good year for escapement, because even though it dropped there in January for a while to ideal, there was plenty of water on the backside, and we're still getting it now. So I sense that the rebuilding that you're talking about, and I think it's because we're getting good ocean conditions. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't bet the house on the next 5 years and the cycle, but that's what those big fish tell me, is that those things found lots of forage for several years, and they go all the way up to the top of the Bering Sea. And so, you know, you used to think that that's just like, that's never going to change. But I think maybe in those years that were spotty, that could have been a factor, because I don't think, but then, you know, those droughts that we went through too, Kenny, so it's just so cool to see the steelhead rebuilding and to have four or five hookups a day. You know, those fish are acrobatic, aren't they? Kind of talk about the range of behaviors when the rod tip goes down. What happens?
All hell breaks loose. Just put it that way. There's lines crossing. It's you know when you hook one of those things, whether it's a fresh one or a downer, it doesn't really matter. All hell breaks loose, and you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, they're under the boat, they're around the boat, they're in a tree, they're they're all over the place, and the customers don't know what even know what's going on. They don't even know what hit them. So it's a lot of fun. So for me to sit back and kind of just kind of watch, you know, look at their face, and they're just, you know, kind of in awe of what's going on. So it's definitely a lot of fun when you hook into one.
Yeah, and that's the thing about wild steelhead, not far off from the ocean with all that gas in the tank. They are wild. They are erratic. I mean, I had days on the Garcia, Kenny, where I went like 1 for 9. We were like fishing plugs, and they were like attacking it. And I was kind of going, oh, no, another fish is going to kick my butt.
They're not easy to get in the net, for sure.
I have had them.
You know, when you ran one of those, you know, you did everything right.
Yeah, and I had one of them, like, come out of the water on the Matola where I was fishing relatively light line from the bank, and it went into the air and did a cartwheel backwards. And it was, like, all of 15, and I'm just kind of going, uh-oh. But that's, you know, when they'll run away from you, and then they leap, and then they do that thing with their body, and, you know, somebody comes up tight on that fish. And my brother was a little too alpha, and he would do that. And I remember fish coming into the air and the line actually snapping, and it sounded like a gun going off.
That does happen now and then.
Yeah. So what do you tell your clients when something like that happens?
You know, you just hang on. That's all you can really do, because you can't explain the whole situation, right? All you can say is hang on, try to keep your line as tight as possible, and enjoy the ride. I mean, that's all you could do, because it's so unpredictable what's going to transpire.
Oh, yeah, and their favorite trick is that they'll go into the air like halfway across the river, and then there's nothing, not even like your hook dangling in the water. And that's when they're running at you at 20 miles an hour. And then the next thing you know, they're showing up like right next to the boat. And then under the boat is a favorite trick.
and jumping on the other side of the boat is a good one.
Yeah. And then Kenny's got to keep the boat out of the bushes while the fish is on and figure out how he can grab his net and see if they can get a photo opportunity. And so it's just really, when that happens, there's nothing like it in terms of like my adrenaline. And I was 1 for 25. 1 for 20, 25, that is. And I got a downstreamer. I had high expectations fishing the elk. And my guide had been like getting 5 to 7 a day. And then, of course, when I went with my friend Dennis Ernst, you know, we picked a day where we got 3 downstreamers, and it rained 2 inches instead of like a half inch. And then it's kind of funny to me, so take it as funny. I got a wicked flu from my guide.
Oh, no.
But get this, Kenny. I lost 10 pounds, and it actually turned out to be a profoundly good rest. And the Elk River, I do love the elk, and so I've got a license for like Oregon for this year. I'm going to be back on the Rogue on Earth Day, April 22, with Casey's guide service, Casey Maselli, and he's out of Roseburg, and, you know, he's just a Harmony-based guy, you know, really has the resource and the fish in mind, and he knows where they live, and he knows what they want. So that's extraordinarily good news. What was your best day this last year?
I think my best day on the South Fork was probably was 5 for 7. So
that's, yeah, that is, you know, that's really cool. Yeah. And so your clients come from all over, or are they mostly local, or how does that work?
You know, they come both. I would say I had a lot of people from out of town this year for whatever reason. But I get a lot of both. So a lot of locals who just, you know, will call me up and say, hey, I got a couple days a couple days off and I want to go fishing. And then I get people from San Diego, the Bay Area, Redding, and just kind of all over.
Yeah, I'm trying to change the priorities in my life to where I'll start dropping a dime on you. I want to connect with the eel the way that you do. It's really funny because I've never really fished it that much. A lot from the bank in the upper river, more for communion. You know, I really, the Matol, since I worked out there like in 1972, the first time I ever went to fish it, I caught like an 8-pounder when you could take them home for dinner, like on my second cast.
Wow.
Fishing with an Okie drifter and roe wrapped up in nylon stockings, 1972.
Thinking this is easy. Right?
Oh yeah, no, and then like 10 casts of there, guy came up from downstream and he was kind of pinching into a pool that was just below me with a spinner, and he hit one like looked like about 13, and I threw it back out there and I got another one on and I go, oh, this is easy, and then I forgot to set the hook, Kenny. So there began my steelhead career. And but that was since I'd worked on the river all summer long, I had this kind of affinity and understanding. And the next day I hooked one in the late afternoon after pounding it all day to no effect. And the tail was 12 inches across, Kenny. And it came into the mouth of Mill Creek. It was like a steep bank. And I thought, well, I'll just like boost this thing onto the bank. And the lead, it snapped right at the, you know, at the lead. And my sinker came shooting out and, I snapped off like a, oh, I don't know, 18-pounder.
Yeah, wow.
And I worked for a guy, Charlie Brown. And Charlie was funny. He could call every fish in Latin. He was a Humboldt State grad. And he just laughed out loud when I snapped that thing off because he was rooting for that fish. And I'm sure that fish, you know, wore my jewelry for a couple of days and then just went and did its business. But that was my real baptism for steelhead as an adult. So are you going to get out on the ocean? Does that excite you at all?
It does. Yeah, I'll probably go out a couple times for a rockfish. It's always nice to do that. But I'm looking more towards Oregon, you know, just going up, not guiding up there, but just going up there and fishing. And, you know, they're starting to catch some really nice springers right now. So, you know, the rivers came up a little bit with this last storm, but boy, they're catching some big ones already, some over 20-pounders, and quite a few of them, you know, the guides up there, and, you know, it's only going
to
get better.
Oh, Kenny, you're getting me excited.
Yeah.
I got a ticket to ride on 422.
Yeah.
So my karma's good. I'm going out with the Real Steel May 15th and June 19th, if, ands, and buts about it, halibut, and rockfish if that's what's happening. Tim went out the other day and used electric reels, and evidently they just brought up some sea monsters, vermilions and lingcod and like that. So
yeah.
The ocean abounds. I'll stay in touch with you. Yeah, I'm all over Oregon. I've got an Oregon license.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go fish the Upper Umpqua or the Rogue, like on May 30th with Casey. Those are his home waters. And might even chase summer steelhead with a fly on the North Umpqua, Kenny.
Yeah, so, wow, nice.
Go wild. You've been listening to Kenny Priest, Fishing the North Coast. You Google it. You got Kenny. And thanks for connecting us again, Kenny. And we'll have you back on soon whenever you have enough fish to talk about.
Sounds good, Pat. Always appreciate it.
All right, brother, man. So I'm going to come back with a longtime friend, Rick Littlefield, owner of Eureka Natural, that iconic institution. And he is also active in the Rotary and very excited about it and excited about Source of the Sea coming up on April 19th. So Dennis will take a little business at the bottom of the hour here, and hopefully we'll line up Rick and get right into it.
Thanks, Pat. It's the bottom of the hour here on Redwood Community Radio, KMUD. It's Monday Morning Magazine, your host, Pat Higgins. Let me tell you that support for KMUD comes from Hambro Recycling, where customers can recycle their beverage containers for cash at locations now in Eureka, Fortuna, Arcata, Willow Creek, and Redway. Hambro Recycling gives customers cash for plastic, aluminum, and glass beverage containers. Hambro Recycling in Eureka, Fortuna, Arcata, Willow Creek, and Redway. Supported by Cal Recycle. And once again, it's the first Monday of the month here on Monday Morning Magazine. Pat Higgins, back to you, Pat.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, we've got here your next guest. We got Rick Littlefield on the line.
Oh, we do. Yeah. Oh, good.
All right.
Rick, are you there?
Hey, Rick.
Yes, hi.
All right.
Rick, oh, good. You know, I'm always prepared for guests that don't show, and then I do like a half hour of improv.
Yeah.
So I'm okay. Great. I'm greatly relieved that you're on. Good morning.
Yeah. Yep, I'm here.
Rick and I go a long way back, and he is, of course, a successful proprietor of Eureka Natural, and I'd like to Eureka Natural Foods. And I'd like to thank Rick for his business's support of the Eel River Recovery Project for low these many years. And so he's also very active in the Rotary Club, and they are co-sponsoring with Caltrout the Source to the Sea Conference on April 19th. And so we're going to have some fun, and Rick is going to tell us all about it. And good morning, Rick.
Well, good morning, Pat. Nice to talk with you and share some of these thoughts with your audience there.
Yeah.
I can tell you a little about Rotary in general. Rotary Club has been in existence since 1923 and has grown to over 1,500,000 members all around the world in over 3,000 clubs scattered all across every continent. And Rotary, we are people of action. We want to get things done. And we work with many other groups, and as evidenced by a seat at certain forums at the United Nations, the only NGO, non-government organization, that has that distinction. And traditionally, Rotary has focused on areas of maternal and child health, economic development in underdeveloped areas, microfinance and such, agriculture support, sustainability, and two other categories. But the newest one that's come up in the last 3 years for Rotary is the environment. And this is a sea change. A lot of people think of Rotary as the good old boys and the big business types and so forth. And that may have been true in the past, but it is certainly not true now. These are professionals from around the world that are dedicated to improving our world on many different fronts. And we're probably most famous for eradicating polio of all but, I think there are maybe 7 or 8 cases that are wild polio now left in the world. And this has been billions of dollars raised, working together with the Gates Foundation and others. So I'm proud to be a Rotarian, and here in our area, we are focusing on the Source to Sea Summit as a beginning point for our new projects in the area of the environment. So that's really exciting.
Let me just jump in and say that Rotary is active. There's two clubs in Fortuna. All people have to do is Google it, and they could show up and be part of it, right?
Yes, they can. And there are 8 clubs on the North Coast, 2 in Fortuna, 1 in Ferndale, 1 in Garberville, 3 in Eureka, 2 in Arcata, and 1 in McKinleyville. And so we sometimes think of Rotary is, you know, the 80-20 rule, the 20-80 rule, where 20% of the people are driving the bus. And those are Rotarians, people that are dedicated and get it done, working hard. and like I say, people of action.
Yeah, and that's sweet. It also implies like seamless trust. Everybody's mission driven, and so that's really a great model, Rick. And so Northern California Rotary Clubs are sponsoring the Summit to the Sea Conference on April 19th. And why are you doing that, and how did this come about?
Yeah, it was actually fortuitous. Our Rotary Club was looking for a project, and with all of the attention on the Eel River, with the dams coming down and hopefully the restoration of that whole watershed, we decided that we would help to focus some attention and shine a light on the Eel River. And we're kind of starting from scratch. And then a friend, Carol Vandermeer, that was a liaison for the Great Redwood Trail, mentioned to me, I told her about this project, and she said, well, you got to talk to Caltrout. And I said, well, let me do that. So we approached them. And Caltrout is a very professional organization that's been around since the 70s, working on restoration and watersheds all over the state. And after a short period of time, it became clear that our objectives were in line, particularly where Rotary can engage the community directly. And so we started this collaboration and been working on it for about 7 or 8 months now. And now we're just coming up to this Source to Sea Summit that's going to be at the River Lodge on April 19th. And it's going to be exciting with a lot of different ways to engage. There's a photo contest, which the photo's just closed, but people will see who the winners of that are. There are programs for kids. I think the We Out Tribe has a kind of a coloring book thing that they're doing with kids. There'll be a lot of professional tabling. So if you want to know anything about the removal of the dams, the restoration efforts, and everything that goes with it, all of that's going to be there, and it's going to be headlined by our congressman, Jared Huffman. So this is a really exciting way to get updated on what's going on with the Eel River.
Wow. So that's April 19th at the River Lodge in Fortuna. Probably starts 9-ish. People can check out.
No, it goes
out
from 12 to 4.
12 to 4, power hours.
Yeah. Yep. Uh-huh. And there'll be food trucks there if anybody wants to get some food while they're there. And we've got some music. And like I say, it's just going to be pretty free-flowing and casual, but a great way to catch up on what's actually going on with the dam removal and how it affects our North Coast and our Eel River watershed.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in the Eel, and that's I'm Eel-centric, and we're kind of more in the northern Mendocino realm, but I understand that you have tribal involvement. You want to talk about that for a sec?
We do. The We Out Tribe is going to be there, and I think that some of the folks from the Round Valley are going to be there, and they're central to the whole process, and that's a good thing. I think our community has recognized the stewardship of Native American folks and how they approach the environment, and we're certainly seeing it with wildfire activity and containment, and I believe that the State Office of Forestry has adopted a number of those practices, and I think the same thing is happening with watersheds. We saw it on the Klamath River, and we'll see it at the Eel, that this type of approach is going to be beneficial in the long run, and it does take the very long view, which we haven't always done in the past.
Yeah, it's exciting times with dams coming down,
And also, you know, we need to look to ecological restoration. And one of the things that the eel has going for it, I'm going to tangent, is that we don't have hardly any pesticides. And so we really need to kind of keep an eye on that. And, you know, Rick, with running Eureka Natural, we really should do an organic eel campaign, just educational, not try to legislate, but just kind of have that be like the social license for the eel. I'm looking forward to the Source to the Sea because I'm putting together a poster and a brochure for the Lower Eel River Salmon Parkway. And for fans of the show or people who have kind of tuned in to the Eel River Recovery Project, this is to get a trail. The citizens of Fortuna, that's a much younger demographic. They love their trails. Their city managers and the city council are all in favor of trails. The local citizens need to organize to form a Lower Eel River Salmon Parkway Committee, and they could get on the train for the Great Redwood Trail and be something that's tangible that Senator McGuire could help foster, and that locals could then advocate for kind of on the along the lines of the Annie and Mary, Friends of Annie and Mary Trail out in Blue Lake. And there, that's finally paying off. And so at the Source to Sea Summit, I'll be talking about why locals should organize, like form a 501c3 through trees and just start to have fun accelerating the time when they get their trail. And when we connect with that Fortuna with Humboldt Bay via, you know, CR, kids could get on the bike and go to college. We are going to then be in a new culture because our healthcare costs will go down. People will come out of the heat to visit us here in the fog. But there's a second half to the Lower Eel River Salmon Parkway, and that is the river is graded to the tune of 40 to 50 feet. That means that the river is buried in gravel that's parked there because it's flat. And we need to resculpt the lower river. And this is something that is kind of part of the Eel River Salmon Parkway concept. But it's something that we want to do in concert with the WIOT. And it seems that the WIOT now are gaining fee title land in the Eel River there across from the River Lodge as part of the city of Fortuna tying into the parkway concept. And there is a park there on that side, and part of the land is over in the river terrace that's gravel, and that is being deeded to the WIOT. And so then they will have co-management authority over water quality of the eel, and also could be prime partners for driving the restoration of the lower eel. Because, you know, Rick, I've been working on this since 2012. And I just went through a period where I got 21 permits over 40 months. And I understand why you can't get there from here. You can't fix the lower eel for salmon because of the snowy plover and the bank swallows and the yellowleg frog. So, you know, getting something together on that side of things, I hope the WIOT are empowered to lead because there's kind of analysis paralysis on the lower salmon or the lower eel river, and every year the salmon are threatened their very existence because they could go on the beach. And so Lower Eel Salmon Parkway, people want to help me out, join my table.
Well, you mentioned some things that really touch my heart, and that is about the trails, Eureka Natural Foods, and my wife and I have been supporting trails for over 20 years, and now it's on fire. I mean, we started trying to fan the flames early along, City of Eureka and then City of Fortuna, and as it really caught hold, it's pretty much ingrained now. It's sort of institutionalized that, yes, we want our trails. And to see that happen, it's the same kind of thing that I hope that happens with the restoration of the Eel and some of the other rivers, and that is if you get people out there and active and recreating in these areas on the trails or hiking, all of that, it just feeds on itself, and it builds the demand for all of this. So I agree
with
you. Yeah,
and yes, those environments are safe. And the vibe is extraordinarily positive. You know, everybody's smiling and happy. It's not like you're stuck in traffic on the freeway. You know, few people in their own little bubbles with the headphones. But it breeds community.
There's a perception with people that, you know, like with trails, for example, and I think the same is true with the rivers. You know, if you build these trails, then you're going to get the homeless people out there, and it's going to be a lot of trash, it's unsafe, this, that, and the other thing. But what we find and what we know all across the country is as they get built, then people start using them, and that in itself creates a safety and a community kind of an environment that people can support. And so there's that beginning part to get over this hump that of the perceptions that, oh, well, they're going to do this or they're going to do that. It's just going to be all these problems. But we found that that is not the case. And, you know, Humboldt County is emerging as one of the, you know, highest sought after experiences, whether it's the ocean or the rivers or the hiking or just the culture that we have here. And this is part of it. And the timing is so imperative. With the dams coming down, it's a generational opportunity to make some of these changes, and it's up to us to take action. And that's the emphasis of this whole Source to Sea summit that we're doing, which hopefully will become an annual type of a thing where we can gather together and continue to support this going forward into the future.
Oh, yeah. You're singing with the angels. And, you know, actually, I worked with your South Ukiah Club back in 2020. And then our organizing efforts were kind of disrupted by COVID. But I have inserted the Upper Eel Salmon Parkway into the Cal Wild study, their Upper Eel Visioning. And so, Rick, when they take the dams out up there, we need a trail. We need to restore the river so that the salmon can flourish instead of finding a very poor habitat. And we need to do forest health there. And so those are two major opportunities in the Eel. And I'll focus on the one in Fortuna because I'm on a cross back and just say that if people in Fortuna are listening right now, and then, you know, to form a local subcommittee and just have a few people, bird dog things like the Humboldt County Organization of Governments, HCOG, to make sure that your trail segment is prioritized means that you are inevitable, that you will get that trail segment. And, you know, when we in critical mass get a functional multimodal transportation network where you could get on your bike in Blue Lake and go to Scotia, we'll be famous for that. And, you know, we got a much better climate than Holland. You could get on a bike any day, you know, some days when it's like blowing over 35 miles an hour. But then when I was running an economic development committee for the Humboldt Bay Harbor District and we looked at this issue, and Lindsay came in and said we'd save at least $10 million a year on healthcare because we would switch in part from a mall culture to a trail culture. And so I think, and then I have the bumper sticker for our next tourist campaign, Rick. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready. Go ahead.
No charge for the AC, no charge for the air conditioning.
And,
you know, climate change is real. Despite what Agent Orange says. And people in Redding, they're loving the real steel out of Humboldt Bay. They are ready to get to Shelter Cove if they want to drive that far. But when we get that trail around Humboldt Bay, you know,
tourism is already worth $80 million a year to Humboldt County. And the jobs may not be like $100,000 a year, but there are jobs that people in Humboldt County can, you know, can live on because of our circumstances. So I think as we get the trail completed around Humboldt Bay, that it's just going to switch on. And so then that's momentum for additional segments. And that's, and McGuire really would love to see some legacy, some part of that Redwood Trail built. So I think that if people come together, so what I'm going to do is I had the Monday Club rented, Rick, get this, for March 31st, 2020, to try to push the Lower Yosemite Parkway idea. And then I tried to come back in August of 2021, and COVID was still flopping on the deck like a mackerel. So I want to take the momentum from our poster and take it to the Monday Club. And if Rotarians want to join me, we should just have, you know, good eats, organic eats, and talk to the community about how they can organize and make this happen. And then the Wiat tribe, it's time that the Harmony-based people like the Wiat, they are traditional, they don't have enterprises, they should be co-managers of the river. And the Lower Eel is in neglect. It has so aggraded that there's no place for the fish to sit. And so that shouldn't be like the wallpaper. And so I'm hopeful as the Wiat get the land holdings on the river and are able to consolidate their position, that they can help win the trust of the agencies and lead us forward to a Lower Eel River where people can go and watch the salmon. And we may not be able to catch them as much as we used to, although people did catch and release them this year. But it will bond us with the river. And so, but you know, we got a few minutes left, and this, your activities here on the Eel are not unique. You guys have things going on internationally about rivers. Go ahead and do a minute on that, Rotary.
We do. Yeah, we do. And a fellow named Salvador Rico is from the South Ukiah Club. That's probably the guy that you were talking with. And he's well-known in Rotary circles and internationally. And I'm working with him just personally on a cleanup of a river in Guatemala called the Motagua. And it's kind of a third world situation that you can probably picture, you know, mountains of plastic and trash coming out of the Guatemala City area. Their landfill is way past its capacity, and a lot of stuff ends up in the river and just going out into the Caribbean. And but projects all over the world to help with the rivers are being collaborated with many groups. There's an outfit called the Ocean Cleanup, and they're the ones where the young man from the Netherlands designed this system of booms that were wave-generated that would corral the plastic and such in the Pacific Gyre, and the Atlantic has one too, and then they're collecting that and removing it. But they're also doing rivers where they have autonomous craft that have booms on the side that corral plastic coming down the river into, funnel it into a conveyor belt system that goes into a type of a barge. And then once it's filled up, they just remove the barge and put another one in there. And it's autonomous. There's nobody, you know, it's run by a computer. It's stationary in the river and just collecting all this plastic. There's all kinds of stuff that's going on.
But That is cool.
It's really exciting. People should look up Ocean Cleanup. They're doing a lot of stuff. It's a big outfit, and they're very highly rated on Charity Navigator, like Rotary is, which gives you an indication of, you know, the professionalism and the attention to their mission, and not just, you know, people having jobs, making money or whatever. But I wanted to mention a couple of things real quick that are at the summit, people that are going to be there. CDF will be there, and they'll be talking about salmonid telemetry project that they're doing. and also on wildfire resilience. DeGao Low Cultural Center, We Out Tribe, is going to have coloring pages of animals local to the Eel River and corresponding to words in the We Out language. They'll also be doing a forest health in their tabling. They'll have a lot of information about that. You guys, Eel River Recovery Project, are going to have your Lower Eel Salmon Parkway project that you'll talk about. Fortuna Creeks Project, the high school environmental student group, is going to be there talking about what they do.
Yeah, and that's Sal Steinberg.
It's kind of in an expo, like an exposition, like a trade show, and you go around and you've got booths and you can talk to people about what they're doing. Tribal Restoration Alliance is going to be there, Trout Unlimited, U.S. Forest Service, BLM, and so it's going to be pretty exciting and interactive. It's not going to be a dull lecture series, so I really encourage people to come out. And hopefully we can build the momentum for this. The thing that's going to really be the challenge is how to restore the Eel River. And that's going to take funds. And it remains
and people,
to be seen what happens with the water rights out of there.
And with
whether,
nature.
You know, yeah. So anyway, it's going to be pretty exciting. So I really encourage everybody to come out and fly the flag for the environment out there.
Rick, that was like a first-class pitch right at the end to re-imprint everybody. And how casual, noon to four. You know, at our recent Forest Health Extravaganza, I was going 9 o'clock and they're going, down, Pat, no, like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
But noon to four, I mean, like, that's a great way to spend your afternoon. It's
Hello? Did I lose you?
Along the parkway. And it's been great to have you on, Rick. This is Monday Morning Magazine, and my guest has been Rick Littlefield. And I guess we should do a shout-out to Cowtrout, Darren Moreau and the gang. They removed the dike at the mouth of Woodman Creek. They excavated with Pacific Watershed Associates, like couple of million cubic yards to reconnect creek to the Holmes Hole, Bridges Creek, I think it is. And they're working every day in the Eel to kind of at a large scale. And so shout out to Cowtrout for bringing home the bacon at a scale.
For that shout out, because I can't say enough good about Cowtrout and how professional they are. Christine Davis has been a lead for them, along with Darren Moreau, and then Julie. All of them have been working really hard with a number of our Rotarians that include Annalise von Borstel and Alyssa Woods and Neil Carnum and Andy Barnett. Yep. And so, you know, it's really been fun, and it's going to be coming up here in about 2 weeks. So I really hope to see you all out there.
Yeah, and if you want to come help, the Eel River Recovery Project, call me, 707-223-7200. Let's get Fortuna engaged. Let's get a Salmon Parkway Committee going. So, how fun, Rick. Two for the price of one. Pitching your event and giving me enough space. I think it worked, though, huh?
Yeah, very good. And thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it. And I have a fondness in my heart for all of the folks out there that are following this message, because I know that KMUD is one of the biggest supporters of sustainable living and the Humboldt County culture, and I just really value that.
You can come on anytime you want, brother. First Monday of the month.
All right. All right, Pat. Thanks again for inviting me.
It's been my pleasure to have Rick Littlefield on, and so at 8:30... I'm going to have the Mount Shasta Bioregional